What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum as well as mints that have caffeine, L-theanine, and vitamins B6 and 12 in it. Helps with memory and focus. I'll chew it really all the time. If I'm driving around showing houses, or you know, about to go for a workout at the CrossFit gym or before I train in jiu-jitsu, just anytime I feel like I need a little bit of a mental boost before a big meeting, I'll just pop a piece of NeuroGum and it gets me to where I need to be. So get out there and try some NeuroGum.
All right. Also, shout out to our people over at Captain Beard Co. So they've got great beard care products, oils, butters, anything you can think of, face wash, all made with all natural ingredients. Smell amazing. They also have other things like body wash and deodorants. And if you really want to set the mood, you can buy one of their candles. Everything smells amazing. Like I always say, makes your girlfriend want to kiss you. So shout out to Captain Beard Co. Check out our podcast code Zach and Pat for 10% off any purchase.
All right. Now to introduce our awesome guest. He is a husband, a father, a real estate investor, a real estate agent, the owner of the modern day agency, the great and powerful Sam Vanderbrink.
Welcome, sir.
Dude, thanks for having me on, guys.
Glad to have you,
absolutely,
man.
Absolutely, man. We're happy to have you. It's been a long time coming. So,
yes.
You know, for the people out there that don't know who Sam is, you know, give him a little origin story here for us.
Man, so I I'm a husband, father. I think that's a good place to start, right? And then a real estate investor, real estate agent, just, you know, doing the best I can to do, you know, best by people.
There you go. Good. So modern day agent. How'd you come up with that name?
Man. So you see modern on different like marketing, you know, material and whatnot. And what's going on with the whole, you know, NAR settlement, that kind of thing. It led me to, you know, have some thoughts on like the modern day, right? What is going to attract people, right? And you know, in a shifting market, because the market's always going to be shifting in some way or another, and people might be hesitant about that. And so if you market, you know, hey, we do things how they're done today, right? The modern time. And so kind of just went with it.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I mean, as you were saying, I mean, it makes total sense with everything that changes, constantly changing and constantly needing to be up to date to be successful in this market. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and I think it's brought a lot of attention, too. We were at the Festival of Nations last week. We had a tent partnered with Arch Carts. If you don't know them, they're a local transportation company. Shout out to Arch Carts. They're the best. Okay. They're great.
Like, so, what do you mean, local transportation?
So, like, I mean, they go downtown, right? They'll transport people to their vehicles, the Cardinals games. They'll do, you know, just private events, like weddings, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. He's got
like
some
golf carts and shit?
Yeah, golf carts.
Where they,
yeah,
like, essentially just shuttle people to and from their vehicles.
Yeah.
So they're not stumbling down the street drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's awesome. So you partner with them and to do what? You went to
Festival of Nations, and so he ran all the transportation for the event.
Oh,
actually.
Cool.
And so we had a tent right at the very front. We were able to meet a whole bunch of cool people, you know, just chat it up and have a good time. Festival of Nations is just an awesome event.
Yeah, I've never been. Where's it at?
Tower Grove.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like you're really involved with the Tower Grove community. I mean, because that's where you kind of grew up there, right?
Yeah, man, I grew up in Tower Grove. We had a lawn company in high school. We were taking care of over 100 lawns a week. And
damn.
So knew a ton of folks in that area. I mean, you know, throw a lawnmower in the back of the Silverado with a weed whacker and a blower and just go out there and cut grass. And I kind of miss it, man. It's so therapeutic almost. Just go out there and cut grass.
Well, a little simpler than what you deal with now, you know?
A little bit, yeah.
So you've always been an entrepreneur. So you had that growing up. When did you start that?
Like 14.
Okay, so the entrepreneurial spirit started young in you, huh?
Yeah, that's okay. Awesome.
I guess it was a... It was just fun too, you know. You get to meet people, have conversations with them, get to, you know, work for them, just bring value. I mean, throughout that, I worked at restaurants, you know, as a kid, growing up at St. Mary's High School, and took that over to college. Worked in a couple restaurants during college. Started a business over there. It was actually a club promotion company, and so I.
Where was that at?
San Antonio.
Okay, that's
Texas.
Right. Yeah, I remember.
So you went to college down in San Antonio?
Yeah, I did.
Cool. Mm-hmm. UT San Antonio.
No, St. Mary's University, actually. Oh, so gotcha. St. Mary's High School is St. Mary's University.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They have a Marianist scholarship that transfers over. And so everybody can apply for it. And you get it. It's a full ride.
There's a few of those. I think there's a St. Mary's in California, though, right? Too?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there
probably.
Is.
Yeah. There's a lot of them.
That's pretty cool.
I feel like that's the one that's good at football that you might see. Yeah. And like, yeah. I've seen him play like college football games and stuff.
So what was it that made you decide to go to down just because it was the transfer was, or was there any other schools that you were looking at for college?
Yeah. So I was going to play football in college.
Oh, were you?
Went and like interviewed at a variety of different schools. And after seeing the schedules, you know, I mean, what is like 6 a.m. every single day. And then you have, you know, after school practice, and it's so time consuming.
And film and, you know, studying, and then just factoring, you have to be a student on top of that. And then, you know, if you're a college kid, you want to have the college experience, and you know, you don't get to do all that if you're an athlete. Well, maybe you can, Pat. I don't know.
Yeah.
At least that's what it looks like on the outside.
It's tough. I mean, you're only supposed to 20 hours of like practice time, but like in the off season, and then during season you're playing. So it's like, but I mean, it's a full-time job. It's, you're practicing all day, every day, like set practice times were like from here to here. But you knew like you wanted to play and you wanted to do something. You had to be there early and you had to stay late. And then you had workouts and trainings. And I mean, we didn't have to do the film like football and all that, but
different there.
Yeah. A little different. But I mean, we had during season, we would have pitchers meetings where we would sit down before every game and run through the strategies and their hitters, like what each, like, I mean, it's amazing where technology is today, but like back then, even still, like we had guys, you know, hot and cold zones and where they're like currently where they're hitting best at. Like, you don't want to pitch this guy away. You want to pitch this guy in, you want to pitch this guy up. You don't want to pitch this, or you want to pitch this guy down, like things like that. But those meetings were still only maybe like an hour and a half long, if that. But yeah, I mean, we still had a lot of fun.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to. Nowadays it's different. I mean, you look at some of these baseball players and they're just absolutely jacked. But like, I was part of the era that you didn't absolutely have to be jacked to play baseball.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there was a lot of guys that were, you know, kind of out of shape and liked to drink and party, and it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you did.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sam, so you were at San Antonio for, you know, how long were you down there for?
I was there for about 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, so I dropped out second year.
Okay.
Started a company. With
a club promotion?
Yeah, so it was a club promotion company. We ran party buses to clubs, got in for free, and $5 for every person that we brought. So we just, you know, shuttle guys back and forth on a party bus, essentially.
So did you own the party bus?
Did not own the party bus, no.
So how did that work?
Is rent them.
So you rented the party bus,
mm-hmm.
and then charge people to be on the party bus.
Mm-hmm.
And like then, subleasing your...
Like sub, yes.
Yeah.
So you sublease the party bus.
$10 to get on the ride, right? Uh-huh. And then $5 at the door from the club owner. And then you get about 2-3 bottles in a section.
Okay.
Really?
As the owner. Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
It was cool. I stopped doing it pretty quickly after a little bit. I mean, it was not the path down life I really wanted to take. And I noticed that after about a year or two. I was like, well, everybody's in their 40s and 50s over here just hanging out at the club. You know, that's not where I want to be in my life.
Right. When they're, you know, you're probably just driving around college kids and you're like, all right, where does this go? You know? And then, so what brought you back to St. Louis?
Man, I just felt called to come back.
Now, did you get your real estate license down there, or did you get it when you came back?
I did. And so there's 180 hours of classes in Texas. Yeah. And so I did all those over there, and then I felt called to come to St. Louis, and I was like, oh man, I just finished all these, you know, classes over here.
180 hours, Dan. We have what, 48 here?
70 something with the state and national.
Oh, okay. Or no, it's 72, I think is what it is. I think you're right now. Okay. So yeah, so it's almost more than double.
It is more than double.
Damn.
Texas is just a weird beast because it's the same thing like on our end. You have to go through separate testing and licensing for that state. Like, they'll accept the national exam, but you have to take a separate state exam, or at least they did when I took it. But I mean, like, they don't, like, they're very strict on like cash, like pulling your equity out of houses, like cash out refinances and home equity lines of credit. Like, they're very strict about that. Like, you only can do it once per house.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really weird how they have all that stuff set up and structured down there. It's strange.
Yeah, I wonder why.
I don't know. I just, when you're reading through it, like, we still have, like, Like, we'll get it like, hey, we'll have a separate program. We'll have programs, and then we'll have a separate Texas cash out program.
They don't want to make more money?
You would think.
Right?
You would think. It's weird that they're not allowed. It's just, I don't know if it's protecting people from tapping into equity and holding on to it for when it's time to buy in the future. But, I mean, but that's the thing. Like, me doing business here in St. Louis is way cheaper than loan officers down in Texas. So, like, any mortgage company here in St. Louis will probably have much better rates than you see down in Texas because of that. So.
I didn't know that. I mean, I've never bought or sold any real estate in Texas, so why would I know, I guess, but.
You see that stuff posted on, you might be able to attest to this being down there, but I mean, you look at some of these homes that they post for sale, like you see the videos like, hey, this house is $400,000 and it looks like a fucking mansion.
Right, right. But then you look at it and it's like on the border of Mexico and you're like, yeah. Okay. that's why.
Yeah. So
I remember somebody sent me that one time and I was like, and then I like Googled the address and I was like, it's literally like, I mean, like you can just, it looked like just down the street was Mexico. And you're like, okay, well, that's kind of why.
Well, San Antonio is pretty close down there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little Mexico.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Dude, the tacos are amazing, though.
Oh, I'm sure.
I miss that.
I'm sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, who doesn't love some good Mexican food?
Okay.
Truly authentic.
Yeah. So you're right there. So then you moved back here and then what?
Man, so I moved back here, started taking my classes again because I had to take them all over again. And so
it wouldn't transfer?
No.
Really?
No. So I don't know why. And they may have. I just didn't realize it.
Yeah.
So I took all my classes here again, went and passed the national portion the first time, then took the state portion twice.
Same.
Yeah, right? Yep. And when I first came back, we just kind of picked up the lawn service company again. So I was doing that for a while, building retaining walls, patios, things of that nature.
Is this you and your brother?
Hardscaping, and my brother. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
How much younger is he than you?
4 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so cool. He's a hustler, man. A hustler.
Yeah, I sat down with him and was interested in bringing him on, and I mentioned it to my business partner, and he actually is like, all right, well, I'm getting ready to leave and head out of town for a month, and I'll be back. And by the time he got back to set something up, he'd already gone. I was like, oh, shit. All right.
Missed it.
Yeah. But no, it was awesome. I enjoyed sitting down with him and getting to talk to him. And big track star. Right? And is he done with college now, or is he still?
He had his master's.
Is he? Okay. Finance. Is he still running? Is he still part of the track?
It's his last year. I get him full time in 12 months. I'm pretty pumped about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I follow him on Instagram. And I've seen like him post his running routes before. And you're like, holy fuck, it's fucking gazelle.
Dude, no kidding.
Are you a runner too?
No.
I did that for baseball. And actually, just having this conversation the other night with somebody. But I'm like, I'll run for CrossFit. That's my extent for running.
Which is like the most you're ever going to run is Murph. I think that's like the CrossFit workout that has the most like running in it, and all that is 2 miles.
They're talking about this half marathon. I'm like,
I'm good.
Not for me.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
No.
I gotta get ready for other things right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. All power to him, though. I mean, it takes 100%. You know,
dude, my brother has run a marathon.
It's a mental grind, man, to go that long.
People get the runner's high. You know, some people can get it, some people can't.
Right.
That's kind of what I've noticed. And when you can get that runner's high, you get addicted to it.
Yeah.
For sure. No, it's. I went through a period where I was like real into running a lot. It was years ago, but like I feel like it was more toward like weight cutting. It was never like running for enjoyment, but like I feel like I got pretty good at running, you know, just because I had to run so much to cut weight that, I mean, it definitely sucked, but I feel like I got good at it, you know, which is just not a fun way to run.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a fun way to run just because you're doing it on, you know, with like no water on an empty stomach, you know, trying to just cut those last couple pounds. Is not fun, you know, I feel like I got decent at it, and I feel like it did definitely help my like cardio with, you know, wrestling, you know, so
You definitely need it for jiu-jitsu and wrestling, that's for sure.
100%.
I'm always dying at the end of those classes.
Yeah, and here's the thing is I don't think, you know, some marathon, I always say like people always, that's one of the things about jiu-jitsu, people always want to tell me they want to like get in shape before they show up and do it, and you're like, dude, You can be a marathon runner and come in and like do this shit and you're still gonna get tired. Like it's not like it's gonna save you, you know, like nothing is gonna get you in this kind of shape like that is. So no. But anyway, where were we? Talking about your brother, and then so when did you like kind of get your business going with real estate? Tell me about that.
I started with Garcia Properties.
Okay.
probably 2020, 2021, around that time. And that was right before I met my wife.
Okay.
And I'd been here, I don't know, 4 months so before meeting my wife. And
where'd you guys meet?
Bumble. Yep. <Nice. laughs> Met on Bumble and then met at a local bar that I've been going to forever. Stella Blues. I've never heard of Stella Blues. Uh-huh. Recently got on fire. Kind of sad. Yeah. Damn. I've been going there since I was like 15.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And so started with Garcia, then went over to Keller Williams, and then started the Modern Day Agent team and while at Keller Williams, and then moved over to Worth Clark. It's kind of, Worth Clark is really kind of, you know, the umbrella, right? It provides errors and emissions insurance, that kind of thing, but they kind of let you do what you want, you know, which is what we were looking for. And now we're kind of where we're at today.
Which is where?
Oh, man. You know, we got an office location on Morgan Ford and Tower Grove South. Just three agents right now. I'm looking to bring on a couple more. I want to have a designated broker, but not me being the broker, mm-hmm. right? I want somebody else to kind of take that role on. I like doing transactions. I like working with people. And that's where I feel like I can bring the most value, right?
You like the sales, not the ops.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so I've been working with a couple different guys who want to take on that role, which cool. I'm excited about, you know, because they really love to train guys. They really love to bring guys on the onboarding process. And so, you know, it just takes, you know, the right shoes, right? If you're fit for that position, you know, and you really enjoy it, then do it.
Yeah. So like, what's the goal? How many, you have like a number of agents that you're trying to get to, or like, what's the end game?
I don't know that I have like a total like number, right, in mind. I think that I just want it to be a whole bunch of, you know, people that can really support each other and bring value, you know, in team meetings and things of that nature, where we can lift each other up and bring, you know, advice about the market, about what we're doing, what's working, and build a community, you know, that all works together behind a brand.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one thing, you know, I think that, you know, mentioning Keller Williams, I think they do a good job of that. Like, there's a lot of collaborating amongst the agents that are there. So, I mean, I think that's a great way to learn. I mean, that's how I learned on this side of the business. I was put in an office with four of the best producing loan officers in our company at the time, with Cornerstone at the time. And like, when you surround yourself by those people, there's no reason why you shouldn't be good. So if you're bringing in those people and they're following your lead and you're collaborating with them, there's no reason why they couldn't get you.
So, exactly. Right. I mean, if you do what you're supposed to do, you're going to see success.
That's the problem, yeah, though, is finding the people that are going to do those things. It takes a special person. And I mean, TV glorifies it, makes it seem like it's so much easier, but I don't like, once they get into the actual grind of it and realizing everything that they have to do, it's amazing how many people just drop out. I mean, I'm sure you guys have seen it. I mean, how many agents do you guys know that started this year off as an agent aren't an agent anymore?
Yeah, quite a few. I mean, it's hard to make it, man. It is. Like, you gotta be okay with being told no 1,000 times, and you gotta put yourself out there a million different ways, and, you know, figure out the way that sticks for you, and, you know, and kind of run with that. You know, it definitely wasn't, you know, I didn't start off, I didn't hit the ground running just selling a ton of houses. You know, it took, you know, that first year took several months, probably 6 months in before I started kind of like really figuring it out, you know, because I've spent a lot of time cold calling when I first started. And I mean, I always look back at that and was like, oh, if I needed to, I could always go back and do that. But I don't really have to do that anymore, thankfully. You know, business is coming in different ways now and through different forms of marketing. And, yeah, so I mean, you got to figure out your way to do it, you know, because like Sam's way is very different than my way, I'm sure. You know, like we've got different, you know, there's definitely different ways to skin a cat, and you know, you just got to figure out the way that works for you.
Oh, for sure.
Or finding someone that you kind of vibe with that can show you their way, and you can kind of put your own little spin on it. Because I feel like that's what I did more than anything.
Yeah. So tell us about a little bit about your, like, from you, Sam starting out to Sam now. Tell us about that. That growth, that path, what would that look like, and what does it look like moving forward?
Great coaches, great mentors, and actually, you know, listening to them and doing what they tell you to do, mm-hmm. and that makes all the difference. Guys that truly want to support your business, right? You might be paying them a little bit of money. You know, that little bit of money that you pay your mentor, you're going to get it back,
for sure,
100x, right? And so I would say, man, what's got me where I'm at today is really just, you know, trusting my mentors that I've hired. I've got two guys right now, Dino, you know mm-hmm. him. He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And
brought him your way.
You did. You did, man. I can't thank you enough for that, man. He's just awesome.
Yeah, Dino's great. Mm-hmm. He's I've been working with him for, I mean, probably almost 3 years now, and or maybe even more than 3 years. I have no idea. But yeah, working with him has changed. He's just such a great like business mind. I feel like he's so good at like breaking things down. And him and I are, you know, business partners on a rental property together, and we're, you know, him and I are actively looking to buy more. But anyway, yeah, Dino's been a game changer. I think him and I are business partners together. We own that one rental property together, and then we're actively looking for more right now. But you know what I really like about him is I feel like he's a great business partner, because him and I definitely have different skill sets, as far as like he's like the king of spreadsheets, like super organized, like just very like step by step process, like always good at like just keeping track of things. Whereas I definitely, that's where I am not as good. You know, I'm good at like running around town, finding deals, talking to people, dealing with the people, like coordinating the contractors, dealing with the tenants. Like that's kind of where my skill set is. Whereas his is, you know, kind of more on the back end stuff. And I feel like it's a great, great dynamic for us to have. So that's, it works pretty well. But
feel that, man. Feel that big time. I'm in a similar boat myself, where it's like, you know, I'm good at the agent side of stuff, you know, running around, negotiating deals, showing houses, you know, finding the, you know, options, right? But need somebody to keep me organized.
Yeah.
The back end.
Yeah. So you said you have Dino, and then you said you have another guy as well?
Yeah. So Ron Phillips. He owns a huge brokerage that's actually nationwide, and then a couple tech companies. Great, great coach. Part of a mastermind group as well. So he lives in South Carolina. I'll go over there once a quarter with six other guys. One of them's an agent, one of them's a chiropractor. You know, so it's a wide variety of, you know, business owners in the group. And so we can call this pour into each other. You know, you get 2 hours where you can talk about your business and the struggles you're going through. And then you sit there and listen to everybody else's, right? And, you know, chime in with different pieces of advice. And a lot of the times it's, you know, a similar issue you may be having, right, that they're asking about. And
yeah,
so
it's different industry.
Exactly. Exactly. And so you can just, you know, plug and play. And a lot of the time you'll get more value out of the times that they're spending asking the questions. And I mean, it's just, you know, you can't put a value on that kind of thing.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's, you're fast tracking knowledge. Right.
Now, how'd you get in touch with this guy?
So it was this is a coaching kind of platform, right? I don't remember the name of it, like Business Mastermind or something like that. But it's coaches that are like all over the United States. I think there's only four of them actually right now. But different groups tied to the coaching platform really focuses on vision, and then, you know, building your business around your vision. You know? And so it's not always about money, right? I mean, money's not why we do what we do all the time at the end of the day. There's so many more reasons why we do what we do. And I mean, it's to spend time with my family, you know, to spend time with the people that I love. In order to do that, you know, we have to make money, but how can we, you know, balance all of that in a proper way to, you know, actually create the time that you're, you know, wanting to have with the people you love?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's, and you guys being able to control the schedule and things that you can do with that and allow you the free time. I mean, I'm sure your wife and your, boy or girl?
Boy.
Mm-hmm. New boy, right? Like
new boy.
Months old. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Axel David.
Okay. And Axel, I'm sure that's, like, as he grows, he's going to appreciate that more and more and more. Is it a goal of yours to get into mentoring?
Maybe eventually.
Yeah.
Man, I've had a couple of guys ask me, you know, hey man, you know, you want to mentor me? And I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm cut for that yet. Right. I mean, I want to do that. I want to bring you as much value as possible, but just pick up the phone and call me, text me if you have a question. You know, I don't want to put you on a coaching platform. Right. I want to keep doing what I'm doing. I want to keep selling houses. I want to keep working with people and bringing value in that way.
Yeah.
And if I, you know, start coaching or doing that kind of thing, it's going to take up the time that I would have where I could work with my clients.
Yeah. You've only got so much time and so much effort that you can put out every day. I always like look at it like you've only got so many like points of effort. You know, if you've got 100, you know, 100 units of effort to give out every day, it's like you can only give so many units out, you know. All right, well, I want to make sure that I'm, you know, here for my wife and my kids today. All right, well, that's going to take a certain amount of units. All right, well, I want to make sure I'm here for my clients and I want to make sure I want to show up for myself. I want to go get a workout in. I want to, you know, read my book. I want to spend the time, you know, investing in myself. So it's like that's going to take units too. So it's like you got to figure out the ways to distribute those units, you know. It's all right, well, if it's 25 units to the gym and to the, you know, the personal development stuff, and then the other 50 to my family and then 20 to my clients that day, or, you know, 25 to my clients that day. But then there's other days where it's, you know, 80 points are going to my clients and my business. And then, you know, my family suffers. And it's just like, you got to figure out the way, at least this is how I look at it, you know, to balance those units out. Cause, you know, not every day is evenly distributed. And, you know, working on that, you know, even distribution of those units, I think is like a really, really difficult skill. But it's something that's attainable. You know, people have done it, so, you know, that can be done. But it's always a work in progress.
There's seasons.
No,
you know, you go through seasons. Okay, well, I'm working my tail off. I'm going to work 70 hours a week, 60 hours a week for the next, you know, 3-4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I've opened up the door for time with my family now. Right. And I have to give myself a break. If I don't give myself a break, I'm going to be spinning my gears so hard that I'm going to force myself to go into a break that I don't really want to have.
Right.
You know,
no, we actually just talked about that on our last episode.
Yeah, we did.
Do you follow James Clear at all? He wrote the book Atomic Habits.
I know of him.
Okay.
I've heard of it.
I'd recommend like signing up for his newsletter. It comes out every Friday. It's real short and sweet. And it gets you thinking about different things. But one of the things that he's talking about was like the seasons, like, you know.
Yeah, it's like three ideas for me, two questions for you. Or wait, three ideas for me.
Quotes from others.
Two quotes from others and one question for you. And it's just that's all it is. And it's like a really good newsletter.
Takes like maybe 10 minutes to go through. But it gets you thinking on a deeper level. Like, so if you're ever in a position where you're like, I don't know what your routine is, but in the morning, like meditation or getting yourself set, squared, right, centered for a day. You could dive into that newsletter, read those things, and just kind of sit there with them for an hour and just think about that stuff. And that was just that. This talking about seasons was what came up on his most recent newsletter that we were talking about last week, which yeah, it was great. I mean, you're right. You go through seasons, and I mentioned it for me, like the real estate industry kind of follows that baseball season. You know, I played baseball since I was 8 years old until I retired at 27. And you bust your ass on our side, even for agents, October through February, getting the things prepared. And so when you hit, you know, March, April, when the spring season, selling season, buying season comes around, you're ready to rock and roll. And then you're just maintaining everything that you just busted your ass for in the off season to carry you through this. And then it's back to grinding. And so, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I've always kind of been in a routine in, and there's some drawbacks to it, you know, kind of the dichotomy of things, but, yeah, I mean, you definitely need to give yourself some time and allow yourself to take that time to grow and be with your family, because you want to be successful. You want to grow, you want to continue to build this business. And if you're wanting to do that, there's going to be sacrifices. But if, like you said, the units, you give the units to them at a later date or a later time, you know, it can all balance itself out. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like when you're young, you know, you're supposed to hustle,
right?
You're supposed mm-hmm. to build your businesses so they can work for you. You know, that you're not working in it anymore. Eventually you're working on it.
Right.
Right. And so, I mean, I feel like that's the season I'm in. You know, it's okay. Well, I want to build these businesses so that they work for, you know, me, they work for my family, and then we get to work for the people ultimately. And so that's, you know, a grind. It might be a decade, right? And my kids might be a little bit older. But at that time, when they're really going to be able to, you know, receive the love that I want to give them, you know, we'll really be in that, you know, time frame. So that's what I see, right? Is, you know, it's hustle mode. You know, it's time to go, right? It's time to, you know, really build out what we want to have there for the next, you know, 30 years. Yeah. But, you know, you don't want to be working in it for 30 years, you know.
And the good thing about, or like the thing that you need with that is a good supporting spouse. And how's your wife? Is she on the same plan? Does she have the same goals? Is she like supporting those goals in that way?
Man, I got the best wife in the world.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I love her to death. She's so supportive. And she just, you know, I can't harp on that enough. She is, you know, able to go for it, you know, do it right. That mindset, that, you know, support that really, you know, can't doesn't come very often, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I got so blessed when I met her. Now she's you know, quitting her job. We're building a construction company as well. Got five guys. We'll be on the crew, and she'll be managing all of that. And that's really, you know, very in her skill set. She was an analyst for Scott Air Force Base
okay.
For cool. the past 5 years, and so she's, you know, spreadsheets, numbers, that kind of brain. And so that's why we work so good together. We bounce off each other that way. Even when it comes to just managing life stuff, like, you know, bills, you know, applying for loans for rental properties, doing all that stuff on the back end. I mean, she handles all that now, right? All the financing for everyone to go to purchase a property, anything like that. She's doing that, you know, while she was working. And she's just super organized. And so I'm really excited to, you know, build another business with her.
That sounds like a good yin and yang right there.
Yeah, yin and yang, man.
Yeah, that's great. Great. So, you know, and you do quite a few, like, flips and stuff as well, right? I mean, let's talk about that a little bit. How many, what's that been like for you?
Yeah, so I did I'm doing my 7th so far this year.
Okay.
Right now.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
I enjoy them. A lot of them are just, like, you know, personal, like our house. Before we bought our house, you know, we had to gut the entire thing, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one of those. I just put an offer on Soulard that got accepted. So we'll start that at the end of this month. Done a handful in Tower Grove, Richmond Heights. But really just having a good group of people around you, you know, in order to rehab houses is really what it comes down to. Stuff's always going to get in the way. You know, shit's always going to get, you know, pushed back. You're going to have to deal with, you know, a lot of stuff throughout the process. But you have a good team, you know, good contractors, good communication, you know, that timelines that actually, you know, get fulfilled. You'll make money from it, but, you know, you'll get to actually see success from it as well. And a lot of the tax credits from the city, something that I really, you know, like to get on those rehabs. Mm-hmm. So you might not make a whole lot of profit on the front end, but if you apply for the MPA credits, a lot of the times you'll get 40%, you know, in 6 months back from then for the money you spend on it.
Really? So the money that you spend on the rehab?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. So say you buy a house for $100,000, you put $100,000 into it.
Okay.
Right.
You'll get in for $200,000.
Yep. You get $40,000 back.
Okay.
$40,000 of the $100,000 rehab, or $40,000 of the total purchase price, or the total money invested.
So it's going to be 40% of the money invested into the rehab.
Okay, so you, so you make 40. Price. So you made 40. You got 40 back from the 40 that you put into rehab.
So you put 100,000 into the rehab,
and then you got 40 grand back, essentially 40%. Got it. Okay.
Now, do those homes have to be in a specific area, or is it just anywhere in the city?
It's pretty much anywhere in the city. It's an income limit kind of thing, right? But most city areas are covered.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Well, so you've done 7 rehabs I've only done two. I mean, one that was one of the houses that we actually owned already, and then one we bought as a flip. And what's been your biggest headache this year you've dealt with?
Oh, timelines.
Timelines?
Yeah. Timelines, definitely timelines. And I haven't completed 7. I'm working on the 2 right now, so I've completed 5.
Okay.
But I'll have 7 done before the end of the year.
That's awesome.
And so I'll say just, you know, getting things done in a timely manner. When you got a hard money loan or private money lender that you're working with, right, you're just doing 100% interest. A lot of the time it's going to be 1% a month at that payment, right, and then 3% on the back end, something like that, depending on the kind of loan you get. And so time is of the essence in that scenario, sure. Right? And so if you're dealing with a whole lot of stuff, you know, you got a whole bunch of closings going on, you're working with your clients, and that always comes first for me, right, is, you know, my clients' needs, my clients' goals, you know, and helping them achieve those. And so if I'm working on my own stuff, then it gets pushed back. Mm-hmm. Right, which is okay, but it ends up costing you a lot of money in the long run. So really outlining and getting everything scheduled and ready to go even before closing, right? And so this property in Soulard, I mean, I got my architectural plans. It'll be done before closing. I got, you know, my plumber and my electrician. They're opening up permits, you know, day of closing. And so just getting everything, you know, outlined before you even start making payments on those loans is really important, because you don't want to take too much time.
Right. And right. I think that might be where a lot of people fail, is they're waiting for it to close and then start that process. But that's smart. It's a really good idea to go ahead and get that planning and all that stuff ready to go on the day of closing, get those permits submitted, get everything taken care of, and then get rocking and rolling day one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this one in Soulard, man, I'm super pumped for it. I mean, all the plumbing and electrical is already done, so all the demo is already taken care of.
Mm. Is this one of those, like, brownstone type?
Yeah. So it's a 2.5 story.
Okay.
Which is kind of funny. They put the master bathroom upstairs, and that's it.
Really?
Right? So you have your master bedroom with stairs that goes up to the master bathroom. It's kind of funny. I mean, we'll be hanging on to it as a rental property. I'll sell it maybe in 5 years from now when the market's, you know, really up.
Are you going to leave the master all the way up at the top, or are you going to switch it around?
I'm going to leave the bathroom. So they actually finished the bathroom upstairs. All the tiles done, all the plumbing's done, everything up there is done, which is just funny that, you know, people manage these rehabs in such a weird way.
Yeah.
So you bought this from a guy who was in the process of rehabbing it?
So it was on the market.
Really?
Yeah, it was on the market. It was a foreclosure. Actually, Guild had the financing on it. And it was just a deal, man. At the end of the day, I was shocked that I actually got it for the price I got it for.
Just lowball the hell out of them.
I will actually pay $25,000 over asking.
Wow.
Yeah. They wouldn't take escalation clauses, which is, you know, kind of interesting. But
those can get so screwy, you know, like at least because, you know, especially when you get three offers and all three of them are escalation clauses, you're like, fuck do I do here? You know, I mean, you got, I mean, at that point, you know, I think you call three agents and you're like, all right, hey, you know, everybody just submit your best and final. You know, I think that's, in my opinion, that's probably the better way to do it. Just because, you know, if you've got three people that come in at asking price and they're going to escalate, you're like, okay, well, everybody's technically at the same price.
The escalation clauses bounce off each other.
What do you mean?
So, like, if you get an escalation clause, it's, you know, say you got a price at like $300,000 and then they escalate up to like $325,000, you know, then you have an escalation clause up to $330,000, right? Well, that person's willing to pay $325,000, right? And so you send over that escalation clause that they had on their contract when you, you know, escalate
but
the other
one. Nothing escalated it. Nothing initially escalated it.
Well, the escalation clauses bounce off each other because they're willing to pay that price.
So if you got two $300,000 offers, and one has an escalation clause up to $325,000, the other one has it up to $330,000,
but
it automatically
doesn't escalate unless there's a competing offer up to that price.
It is up to that price though,
but it's not on the purchase price line of the contract. If the purchase price line on the contract says $300,000,
but the offer is up to that amount, right?
But so you don't have an offer that escalates it to that amount.
That's how it always gets, at least that's how I look at it.
I mean,
you're looking at it as like, all right, so this guy offered 300 with a three up to 325. This one's 300 up to 330. Well,
he's going to go
already,
up to 325. I get it.
It's already escalated up to three. So because he came in with that second offer of 300 up escalated to 330, you're saying that. You're looking at it, all right, well, this guy's offers now is $325,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
you're escalating it, you know, $325,000 plus whatever he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I was always, you know, informed about it. That's how I, my mentor at the time, you know, when I started at Garcia, I mean, she's been doing it for 20 years. That's how she taught me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a simple way to think about it.
I mean, it's a better way to think about it, but it's just so, that's why I get when people say no escalation clauses because it can get really confusing.
Yeah, whoever I guess has the higher amount that they're willing to escalate up to is the winner, or the one that would be the highest.
But
there's all those other terms too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, 100%.
So many times I'll go with the offer that's actually less.
Less, but you know, in more convenient terms for sure. I mean, that no inspection thing is it's kind of the king card. Yeah. At least that's what I always say. You know, I mean, no sellers want to deal with that.
Talked about real estate. Talked about the business. What's it like being a dad?
Man, being a dad's awesome.
Yeah.
They grow so fast.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. What's been your biggest lesson that you've learned so far?
Time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Spending time, you know, even if he's not going to remember, right? I think it was 3 years is when things start, you know, sticking.
I don't know.
Something like that.
I don't know. I feel like my little guy, I mean, he remembers everything. I mean, he remembers everything. Like, we changed the pictures up on the wall the other day, and he comes down.
Fatherhood. Biggest lesson you learned is time. What's has there been anything that surprised you about being a father? Like an expectation that you had that just hasn't, that was like, or maybe like a miss or a misconception about fatherhood that you might have thought prior to that you realized was like, okay.
It's easier than I thought it was going to be.
Agreed. That's where I was at.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought it was like, I don't know, the bomb was going to go off in my life and I, you know, would never have the time, right? But it's more of a, you know, precious time
right
now, you know, opposed to whatever you might have just done before, right? Lay on the couch, play on your phone, you know, something like that. Now I get to come home and I'm excited to get home. I'm excited to spend time with them.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, it's when, has he recognized you yet? Like when he sees you, does he like smile and?
Oh, yeah. I feel like that started to happen at like month three or something.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. That's where we're at with our second right now. He's like just starting to smile. He's starting to. Like recognize you, starting to follow you around, like that's like when it starts getting a lot more fun, you know. And then when they start talking and walking, when it's a whole fucking trip, you know, like that's a whole different ball game when they can start walking and talking. Because then, I mean, things do become more difficult. I'm not gonna lie, you know, because you're just way more concerned for their safety, you know. Like anything is, you just realize how dangerous the world is around you, you know. Like there's just death everywhere, you know. Like
I just think. At the beginning, it's getting used to the lack of sleep. Mm. That's what makes the early stages of being a father and a new baby tough, is working on that lack of sleep. Now, mothers definitely have it way harder with the breastfeeding and all that. Like, as a father, I kind of felt guilty when the boys were first born, because I was like, what? I want to help. I want to be able to do something, but it's limited on what we really can do, you know, especially if your wife is breastfeeding. Really, like, it's not like you get to wake up and can't just pull it out and feed them. You know, you need your wife for that, you know. And I don't know, bottle feeding, well, it took us a while before we switched to bottle feeding, but then once we did that, we kind of got on a routine and a schedule, and that was key for us. But yeah, and then eventually switching over to formula. And when you guys do switch to formula, the baby Brezza, hands down, we've talked about this before, it's a Keurig machine for baby formula. Amazing. You just put it in there, hit a button, gives you the perfect ounces and water temperature. It's great. So,
note taken.
Yeah,
we do. We're doing all formulas pretty much this go around. I mean, Gina did breast milk for a little bit, but then it just becomes so much. Like, she produces like a crazy amount. And so it's just like such a chore for her. And I mean, she just spends her whole day pumping then. And constant with the cleaning of the pump. If you're not pumping, then you're cleaning the pump, or you're bagging the breast milk, you're freezing the breast milk. Like, dude, we had like more than 1,000 ounces frozen in our freezer at one point. Like, yeah, she was making anywhere from like she's making like 64 ounces a day.
Trapping breast milk.
Pretty much. I mean, I know you can like sell it and stuff. Yeah. I don't know. We never really got around to doing that, but.
Liquid gold.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess we could have gotten around to doing that, but we never did. So I don't know. But anyway, yeah, it's been, it just gets more and more fun as they grow up. And, you know, so I mean, I'm only just a little bit ahead of you, you know, so you'll see here in about a year. It's fun.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause we're at a point now where he's like playing with friends and stuff. Like, it's cool. Like, we're really lucky. We live here in a cul-de-sac, and you know, we're just surrounded by like kids under the age of 5. And so he just goes out inside and has like a blast every night from like, you know, 5 to 8 o'clock every night is a party in front of our house, you know, like with the 3 families in our cul-de-sac. It's a blast.
That too, wants to get to that age where like they start comprehending and learning what's going on, like every day, something.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And just like seeing them grow up and that adventure that they have, and that, just to learn, constantly be learning. So it's been awesome. So, yeah.
Yeah, something I'm really excited about. I mean, we live, New Smizer, 141, kind of Gravois Bluffs area, Fabic Park.
Yeah.
But we live like right there on New Smizer, and about 2 houses down.
Not too far from one another.
No.
Oh, I'm mm-hmm. balling up at 141 in Big Bend.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So we like have our 2 closest friends like right there.
That's awesome.
And they've got 2 kids under 2. And then his godfather just moved in like right down the street too, and so it's us and then our close friends in the middle, and so we're just gonna send the kids meet in the middle, you know, it's meet in the middle.
Go outside and play.
Yeah, dude, it's amazing.
So
Sam, tell us what's like a normal day in the life like for you,
man.
I know it's gonna be, I know every day probably like my schedule looks very different, but like just a normal every, you know, like a standard run of the mill day.
So beginning of the week, you know, Sunday night, I just map out what I got to do, right? So Monday through Friday, what am I doing Monday through Friday? And then every single, you know, day is going to be different. You're going to have to add things to that schedule throughout the week. And so before going to bed, you know, you just map out the next day, right? What do I have to get done? And so every day is different. I usually just start out with like some kind of workout, right? I don't really run, but I'll go like on like a walk run, you know, there's a big hill next to that Fabic Nature Park that I'll go up and down a few times and maybe go to the gym for 30, 45 minutes right after that. Come home, shower, reply to whatever, you know, quantity of text messages and emails I've received through that time.
Yeah.
And then meet with my assistant after that, map out what she's gonna do for the day. And after that, it's just hustle. You know, you got showings, listing consultations, going and looking at properties for myself, going and looking at properties for other people. Just really depends on the day, man. Depends on the day. Some days are insane, you know, and some days aren't. Right. And those days that aren't, you really want to soak it up and try to spend time with the fam.
Oh, dude. Sounds very similar to my days. You know, throw a jiu-jitsu and a podcast in there, and we've got the same schedule. So anyway, but pull up the questionnaire. Was there any?
Fortunately, I can't have it.
Ha! Yeah, forgot about that. Sorry, is there anything else we're forgetting that we forgot to bring up? I don't know. Sam's got to get out of here kind of soon.
Anything else?
I pushed it back.
Anything else you want to chat about or talk about that while we got you here?
Man, so much stuff we could chat about.
Oh, there's right? a ton of stuff. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Anything in particular that you want to talk about while being on the show?
Man, nothing in particular, really. Yeah. I would say there's so much value that you guys can bring to people, right? And so getting to know you guys better, is something that I'd like to do. So, what led you guys to start the podcast?
So the whole reason, it all kind of blossomed out of me doing Murph's podcast. So I was a guest on the Talk with Murphy Wells, and I'm just a big fan of podcasts. I consume, every day I'm listening to something. I've got several different ones that I listen to, I've just been a big consumer of them for 10 plus years now at this point. And I've always thought, man, it'd be really cool to do one day, but what do I have to say to people? People really want to listen to me, I don't know. But Murph and I started doing our talking head content, and that was just basically him setting up a couple cameras in front of me, and then he would just ask me a question, and then I would just riff on the question for a couple minutes, and then he'd clip that up and turn that into a social media reel, and so kind of felt like a podcast already a little bit just between him and I. He would just ask me something, and I would just start talking, and then he'd clip up the best little part, and there was a reel. There was the post for the day. Him and I did that episode together. And then I was I really liked that. That was a lot of fun. And one of the things he was do you want to ask me something? And I was I think I should start a podcast. And he was yeah, dude, I think you'd do pretty well on it. You did really good on this. I think you were an engaging person to talk to. And I think it could be something. And then, shortly after that, I was all right, maybe we should do this. We're already getting together once a week to record, social media content anyway, for business or whatever. And so I was like, we're already getting together once a week anyway. So let's just, instead of just recording, the little questions that you're asking me, we'll just record the whole time and turn it into a podcast. And then I don't know if I really want to do this all alone. And it just always, it's nice to have someone to help you and bounce ideas off of and just have a good, genuine conversation. The first person I thought of was Pat. And I reached out to Pat, and within a minute of me sending him a text, he responded, "Fuck yeah, let's do it." and then 3 days later, we were recording our first episode.
Yeah.
So not much thought preparation. We did have one, meeting with me, Matt, or sorry, me, Murph, and Pat, and kind of discuss what we want to, because we didn't want to just make it all right, let's just go talk for an hour. It's all right, let's. Kind of, all right, who's our audience? Who are we talking to? Okay, well, we're all right, we want to talk to, young business owners. We want to talk to people in the, entrepreneur space, manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship. Those are things that I think Pat and I, do a good job of, or we've got good insights on, and, there's always room for improvement, but that's really what we wanted to kind of center this on. And so we just had it on, and it was we know so many cool people with all the different networks that we're a part of. It was we're going to have a plethora of guests. And I was I sat down and wrote out
we're booked out. We're people. Booked out through October now.
Yeah. So we've got a lot of great guests lined up and stuff. So, we just need to get our equipment thing figured out. Yeah. And hopefully we'll,
learning experience on the go with, Murph, shout out to Murph. Congrats on the, on taking things down to Florida, but yeah,
taking his talents down to South Beach.
Yeah. So, it's just, it's a learning experience again, for us going through all this. It was a learning experience from the get-go to get to where we're at now, but now it's a whole nother level with us having to, with the cameras and staying on top of that stuff, which we appreciate your patience with us. You're the first one that we've had on the show since Murph's been gone. So, but yeah, like Zach said, it was one of those things where, I had been talking with my business coach for years about a podcast, something along the premises of hey, sitting down, bringing guests on and having conversations with entrepreneurs and people that are successful to get those messages across to people, especially you always hear about people complaining about millennials and in the generations below it. For me, that's who I think is part of our target audience, is those kids coming out of college that need a little guidance, that might be afraid to take chances, and they can sit back and realize hey, all right, we've got some resources here of guys that have done it and that are doing it and are providing value to us that we can learn from. And I think all the guests that we've had on have done a very good job of that, which are, they're all, we've had all young, we've had a lot of young entrepreneurs. There's been a few that have been on a little bit older, but again, all tying in and providing value to the younger generations and people that may be on the fence about like, hey, I'm not happy where I'm at. Let's make a change. And then you tie in the fatherhood aspect of it and manhood. I just think one of the things that him and I discussed when we had that meeting with Murph was, and we were trying to pinpoint what it was that we were wanting to talk about, we narrowed down like how men have kind of have just over the last handful of years have kind of gotten a bad rep with toxic masculinity. And one of the first episodes we did, we dove into that and the contradictions of what, you know, being a man and the toxic masculinity is and kind of the change of being a man and where, like, from like where our parents grew up knowing what a man is to where we're at now. And there's like the evolution and the change and all that. And, you know, we've touched on that and we want to continue to touch on that, but like, and then just bringing in our interests, like with jiu-jitsu and then, you know, the fight, doing fight companions and stuff like that, you know, just all sorts of different things that really just get some guys together. We've had some female guests and getting their insights and just showing people that there is, you know, there's ways to go about life that aren't the status quo. There's ways to get out of the status quo and do things on your own and be an entrepreneur and build a life that you want. And, you know, like I said, you're an example of that. And that's one of the reasons why one of the big reasons why we wanted you on the show is like, you're living proof. And that's what we want to continue to show people and promote to those people that may not know what they want to do. And that, hey, there's multiple ways of doing this. It just so happens that we're all experts in real estate. So a lot of the people that we've had on have been in real estate, but I mean, you know, you, and then like the stories, you know, like Matt's story, you know, yeah. It's just, there's so many things that are just interesting to people. And it's just been fun to kind of get that out there and build these relationships with the people that we've had on the show. And I'm really looking forward to it and excited to see where we continue to go with this. And like I said, we're booked out through October and working on guests for November. And it's been cool. Just like people that are excited to come on being able to provide that opportunity for them to share their story and share their information and share their knowledge. And we just want to continue to do that. Just provide value for people. So,
yeah, I love that. The intro for my podcast, which I'm going to be amping up here pretty soon, is bringing leaders and providers from our community to bring value and knowledge to you. Right. And I love that. Yeah, right. Because awesome. It opens up a whole new mindset. Right. I mean, if you've been in college, you know, you're kind of trained to be an employee at that point, but you don't have to be.
No.
Right. You can go and build something and be proud of what you've built.
Right.
And that'll work for you. And so, I mean, I love that you guys are doing that, man. It's so cool. And bringing on, you know, just a different flow of the guests that you have. Right. Because there's so many different ways you can be an entrepreneur. There's so many different ways that you can open up doors for yourself that people just don't realize.
Yeah.
Right.
We've had anything.
Graphic designers on. We've had, you know, media producers. We've had, you know,
real estate
people, jiu-jitsu, you know, jiu-jitsu coaches. We've had
business coaches.
We've had CrossFit coaches.
Yeah.
We've had, I mean, just really, it just kind of centers around our interests too.
Right.
You know, we've got some cool ones lined up here that I'm excited about.
I've got one coming up later that's kind of a little bit different than anything that we've been going on with, like hair and makeup, owning a company that does that and specializes in, like, you know, weddings. And so obviously that's going to be a little bit different of a show, and I'm looking forward to it. So
yeah,
it's fun to learn from other people.
Absolutely.
Too. I mean, I love the process too, like just having a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, get to learn, other people get to learn, it
right.
just goes out.
Yeah, it's like an educational experience. You know, like that's kind of selfishly how I look at it too.
Yeah, speaking of education, is there a point or something that you would like to the viewers? Like what's something that some wisdom that you could drop on or some education that you could share for some of our viewers?
Man, I would say
anything. Doesn't have to be specific to real estate.
Work your tail off and learn as much as you can about the industry that you're interested in. And that means, you know, a couple of books a month. It means talking to everybody that you might know that might be even, you know, partially in that industry, right? And just learning from them. But you're never going to hurt yourself by learning too much,
yeah,
right?
And that's awesome because that's like the common theme amongst everyone that we have on here. Always be learning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. White belt mindset.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So we always end it. One last question that we always surprise our guests with, called the tombstone game. All right. So here lies Sam. What's it say on your tombstone?
A loving father, a follower of Christ, and a hustler.
There you go.
That's there you perfect. Go.
Perfect, man. So, well, yeah, man, we appreciate you coming on. And look forward to following you and following your growth. And let the viewer know, how can they follow you? How can they follow along with your journey and what you're going through?
Yeah, so you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Sam Van the Realtor on Instagram, and the Modern Day Agent Team is our company Instagram page. Follow it, and hopefully we can bring you guys any value that you might be looking to get.
Awesome, man.
Perfect.
We appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thanks again.
Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Well, that'll conclude our episode today, guys. If you could, please click that subscribe button, hit that like button, comment what you guys thought below, and we will see you next time.